This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. Headed back to the NBA. We had that big discussion on whether we're seeing the most talented group of players the league has ever seen. And the spoiler alert answer is yes, but there are some games to be played by many of those players, including the Bucks and the Raptors tonight. Joining me now to discuss, Shane Young, NBA columnist, analyst, writer for Clutch Points. Now, Shane, let me ask you, first of all, between the Bucks and the Raptors, that game tonight, have we reached a point where it totally flipped, where it felt like Milwaukee was inevitably going to win that series after the first couple of games, and now it feels like Toronto has figured them out, and it's just a fait accompli that they're going to win it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, thanks for having me. I think after the first two games, it looked as if that Milwaukee was just so much better offensively in Toronto, even though they're really stout on defense. They didn't have the depth. They didn't have the bench to really stand up whenever Brogdon or Mirotić or anyone really got going, or Ilyasova for Milwaukee. But what we've seen the last three games is that Toronto's defense has actually proven to be completely different than what everyone thought. It's proven to be probably the best in the league. I mean, I would say, although the Bucks had the best defense statistically in the regular season, when you have Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, and Kyle Lowry, just their aggressiveness on the perimeter, it's become really hard to penetrate for anybody. For Chris Middleton, who has really struggled in the series, Eric Bledsoe, who's had one good game in the series, or Giannis, because, I mean, whenever he's inside and whenever he gets within, 10-ish feet or 10 to 15 feet, bodies just collapse. And they're really forcing Milwaukee to beat them on open threes from Bledsoe or Middleton, or just the others in general. And this is kind of what we thought about the Bucks, or what I thought per se about the Bucks, is that whenever they get cold, they don't really have a backup option. They don't really have any offense in the half court to really throw the ball down into and get you something easy.
Yeah, and how much of that comes down to the difference between Kawhi Leonard and Giannis? Because the way I've put it is, Kawhi can get a shot under any circumstance. Giannis cannot. Yeah. Giannis can still get better, of course, but Kawhi is a reason that he's being neutralized. I think Giannis is shooting 35% against Leonard in the series, and he's made only 7 shots outside of the restricted area. How much of it is simply that difference? The Raptors' best player is game plan proof. The Bucks' best player is not.
I think that's become a lot of it, is that Kawhi is, to me, the best player in the Eastern Conference. And I know Giannis supporters, because of the MVP, because of every statistical impact stat that will tell you Giannis was better during the regular season. I think that what you'll see is Kawhi Leonard just being a lot better with the ball in the mid-range, a lot better from three, just a lot better at late game offense. And that is what Giannis at 24 years old will have to get better at.
Robin Lundberg talking to Shane Young, NBA columnist and analyst here on CBS Sports Radio. Now, let's switch to the West for a second. Kevin Durant came out and said, the Warriors aren't better without him, which, I mean, I agree. Here's the things I think about KD and the Warriors, the things I legitimately think. I think he kind of made them unfair, right? They were a 73-win team, and they added Kevin Durant. I think I would argue for Steph Curry against Kevin Durant, even though it's a super tough argument, and I could see the other side of it. But what I really kind of think is that the Warriors don't need Kevin Durant, and really the only person they needed Kevin Durant against was LeBron James. Do you agree with that?
It's really tough, because I do think that the Warriors are operating more fluidly without Kevin Durant because of the Steph Draymond pick and roll, able to spread the floor and really just bend the defense, because people trap Steph at half court. And then you have Draymond leading the 4-on-3s and stuff. And, I mean, you know, Klay is going to be good no matter what. But I think not having Kevin Durant makes the others a little bit better. And that's not to say that KD – and this is kind of what KD has to understand is that we're not saying – nobody is saying that KD doesn't make others better because he's, you know, the best scorer ever probably. I mean, of course it's going to make people better. But Kevon Looney – you know, Jordan Bell, all those type of guys that get more minutes because Durant is out for depth purposes, they are able to have the ball more. They are able to make decisions, put the ball on the floor in the short roll situations like Draymond Green's role. And Draymond Green just has a bigger responsibility. And he knows in his mind he has to be perfect whenever Durant is out. And that's something that Steph and Draymond kind of alluded to in the post game against the Blazers when they swept them, is that they understand the margin for error is not there, so they just naturally up their level of play. When Durant's there, there's a tendency to relax. There's a tendency to just, okay, and you'll see it with Stephen Curry too, probably the most part. He doesn't run his routes as much. He doesn't completely screen as great as he needs to. His energy level is just not all the way there whenever Durant's on the floor, because they know, oh, well, we're going to score 1.5 points per possession anyway because we have Durant. So why go all out?
Yeah, I mean, he raises their floor. You know, in any situation, he can get a bucket. And the reason I say he was there, you know, they needed him for LeBron. Who would have known if they had a true rubber match? You know, I think LeBron and Steph are the two greatest players of this generation. I would have liked to have seen a true rubber match. But we know in 2015 they went 6 games and Love and Irving were down. And we know what happened, of course, in 2016. And he's the only guy that has beaten, regardless of Durant or not, he's the only guy that's beaten this incarnation of the Warriors in a playoff series. And when they added Durant, it made them unbeatable. But now that Durant is back out, it has put the light back on Steph Curry, and he has a real opportunity in front of him, because I believe LeBron's the best player who's ever played, but I also believe that Steph Curry is on the Mount Rushmore of the best players I've ever watched with my own eyes, and I think he has a chance to maybe solidify himself as a top five-ish player in history if he can, you know, play a few more years but really have a signature run here.
See, people like you and I are rare, because I am 100% there. I've always said LeBron is right there with Jordan. If someone that is 40 plus years old tells me that I don't know what I'm talking about because I didn't see Jordan play, then I can see in the conversation, I'm like, okay, well, LeBron is the best I've seen and ever, and I didn't really get to watch Jordan play.
I was a little younger, but I did watch Jordan play.
Yeah, totally. But and I think the thing is that people are going to look at Steph's career when it's all said and done, and it's going to be undeniable. If he has 5 or 6 championships, which he'll, I would say 5 is the number I would rest at that he'll finish with, maybe. I think when it's all said and done, he's going to be the best point guard ever, legacy-wise. Maybe, you know, you're going to have guys that watch 80s basketball that just refuse to believe that he has a place against Magic Johnson, but I would say that in this generation, impact-wise, as much as they've changed the game, it's LeBron and Steph, and that's it. Because the way that everything has just altered and shifted offensively since this guy has gotten hot in 2014, it's kind of remarkable, and it's something that I didn't really expect to see. So I do agree. I think Steph will be 5-6 range if he just gets a couple more championships. And I think the narrative – I think you can agree with this too. I think the narrative that he has struggled in the finals or deep in the playoffs is completely absurd.
Yeah, I mean, I think his statistics would tell you he's been a very fine playoff performer. He's had a couple of games here and there, and I think that's where, you know, like a comparison to LeBron may not favor him, for instance, and the whole impact LeBron has had on the game. And maybe it's also the LeBronification of analysis, where, you know, you're deemed a failure if you have a bad game or a bad possession or something like that. But no, I mean, you mentioned it changing the game. How many players have legitimately changed the way their sport is played? Steph Curry is one of those players.
Yeah, and I would actually argue that LeBron's it's funny that he does this because it's so freaking good, but LeBron's 2016 and 2017 finals, the triple double average, the 20 or the 35, 8 and 9 average or whatever it was to close out in 2016, that has what it has done is made every other finals performance feel boring. It's made every other finals performance that doesn't have those statistical averages seem bad.
Yeah.
And that's not the case. LeBron was just perfect in 2016. And it's just like, I mean, Steph should have had 2015 MVP finals. And he's been great ever since. And pretty much 95% of the games he's played in the finals. So he has one clunker here or there where it's clear that they need Durant and half-court offense. But I really do think, I don't know about you, I'd like to hear your input. I think they're going to need Durant just at some point in this finals. If they don't have him, it's going to be tough for me to pick them.
I think it's just more interesting if they don't have him, though. Whether, yeah. You know, and nothing against KD. KD's I always feel like I have to, like, have this disclaimer. The guy's a tremendous basketball player, obviously, duh. But I think it's more interesting if they don't have him because I don't see anybody beating them if they do have him. And without him, they are both beatable, and it doesn't feel unfair if they win and we get this opportunity for Steph Curry to erase any of those narratives as well. Shane, really appreciate the time this morning. Enjoy the game tonight, man.
Oh, you too, man. Have a good one.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.